connected to CMN Network.
Alpha, Delta 8, Mike Papa.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Whiskey 1, Bravo Lima Uniform, W1BLU, mobile monitoring.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
This is Kilo Fox. Oh, sorry for that. This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Quebec, November. Listening. I believe I echoed there. This is KF8SQN listening.
KD8MJJ testing. KD8MJJ testing, please.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. currently connected to CMN Network.
KES Mobile.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Quebec, November, listening.
Thank you.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Quebec, November, testing. KF8S2N, testing.
You're making it.
KFASQN, Roger. I was just testing out. I'm on Echolink, but I was testing out my handheld radio. Have a 3-foot tape inside, so I'm testing out the best spot on my window. Getting the repeater, receiving the repeater good at all.
That'll probably be a while before that gets set up properly there. That storm folded that thing in half, so it's a makeshift over there. You would have got it probably before. Although it wouldn't hurt to have a small beam or like a Ringo Ranger or a wire duplicate. And that's the end. The other night you have a tree by your house where you can pull up a wire and put it.
KFASQN. You're not coming in good. It's 20% you and 80% static.
Is this any better?
Loud and clear.
I meant to ask you the other night when we were talking about trapping minnows and crayfish and that type of thing. Do you have a tree? Is there any way you can get a piece of coax outside and in a tree next to the house or hanging over the house?
Yeah, I could if I had a coax cable.
Right. Do you have any soldering equipment yet?
Yes, I do. Matter of fact, I was just practicing soldering for the first time today. And it worked whenever I was soldering.
Right, because you can make up something that is probably as good or better than a Ringo Ranger. And then, it's best to get it outside. But if you've got cathedral ceilings, you could do something with that inside, too. As long as you don't have a metal roof. Now, that makes a bit of a difference. But you might be able to get some gain with a wire antenna. They make a Super J pole that's like the Ed Fong or Copper Cactus. They make a Super J, which is a collinear version. It's stacked up to two half waves over a quarter.
Roger. Yeah, I didn't know about that. I'm going to check that out. I need a... I love this 3-foot tape antenna. It's extremely good if I'm doing, decently, mid-range contacts, 10 miles. They advertise it as 30 miles, for those obstructions, as you know. VHF, UHF doesn't do that good. I've heard about the wire antennas, drinking in a tree for HF stuff. I've heard it for HF only, but I never knew you could do it on UHF, VHF.
Of course you can. You can do wire dipoles on VHF, or you can do J-pole style antennas. I used to make them quite often with the old... You're awful young to remember this, but the old brown twin lead, two-wire, 300-ohm line, but ladder line, you can make them folded, I don't remember what they're called. It's like a J-pole, though, but they make a wire J instead of a copper cactus being like plumbing parts. You can make it out of ladder line or 300-ohm twin lead, or... you can make your own, there's quarter wave matching stub at the bottom. You can look them up, and then you have to set up a dowel or a piece of PVC plumbing to make a loop. It's like a matching stub, sort of. Look at a Ringo Ranger ARX2, and then if you look at it, you can make the same thing with wire. You have to put it inside of a piece of plumbing, which changes the characteristics of the antenna. Or you can pull it up in a tree, or if you got cathedral ceilings in the house where they're vaulted and open, you can hang it up along somewhere like that where you got to have a tall ceiling to do it indoors. But it'll give you a 6 decibels of gain, I think it is, or close. And that's double your ERP or your PEP out of your radio. So if you got a 5-watt, let me catch some time. So if you got a 5-watt walkie-talkie, it'll 6 dBs doubles your ER or doubles your PEP twice. So 3 dBs doubles at once. So if you're putting out 5 watts, you got 3 decibel gain. It'll make it into 10. So if you got 6 dB, it'll double it on itself twice. It's like a cube effect. So you go from 5 with the first 3 dB, you go to 10, and the second 3 dB, you go to close to 20. Those are just rough guesstimates, but they get you close enough. So 6 dB, it gets you 20 with a 5-watt radio.
Roger. I didn't know all that. My bowel thing, it's an AR-152. It pushes 10 watts, realistically 8. I just got a new radio. It's another handheld. It's 5 watts. It's a QRZ-1 Explorer, and I really like it. It's very pristine audio quality against a Baofeng. I really like it. But, I've been wanting to make a homemade antenna for a while now, and... And you literally just reminded me, and, well, you gave me basically the instructions on how to make one. I was trying to make a metal coat hanger antenna and a Yagi antenna out of a tape measure, but again, I don't have coaxial cable, so that's not a very good thing, but, realistically, right now, I'm just waiting for my birthday to get that Anytone 778 and that bass antenna.
The tape measure antenna works pretty good. You got to really rough the ends of those pieces up and use a half-inch plumbing, but that's how I tracked down the guy that was accidentally jamming the Lapeer repeater. But that thing is the three-element tape measure beam. Now, that gives you quite a bit of gain, and then it rejects anything off the side. But that thing works pretty good. You really need a piece of coax, and you want to get enough so you can tie a choke up by the hairpin match on that particular three-element beam. But you tie it right around the mast of it, and then you run it down, and then you know you can set up a tripod or whatever, or clamp it to something. But that antenna does really well. I mean, I liked it.
Roger. Really quick, is your call sign KBAOEE? And yeah, weren't we talking about the seafood stuff?
OOE, Kilo, Bravo, number 8, OOE, Oscar Echo, yep. The seafood place down there in Lapeer. Anyways, the problem with that tape measure antenna, and I'll tell you, I really freaked some of the younger guys in the club out, is when you cut those, to do the hairpin match and to hook that coax up, and you cut those pieces of tape measure, old junk tape measure, you really got to get that paint really off of there good, and then you use a lot of flux on the end, and you have to have an extremely hot iron. I used to do some stained glass, and I had a 300 watt, I think, and I also had a 900 watt when I was doing leaded glass, but a 300 watt is quite the soldering iron. But you really need to, and you need a little bit harder solder to start, to coat the end. Once you coat it, then you can solder it with something lighter duty to do that little hairpin match. And all I used for the hairpin was just a piece of solid copper wire from like out of a piece of Romex cable.
Roger, yeah, I didn't know about all that. I get why you have to get rid of all that paint for, I'm assuming, the RF signals to travel through and, like, not get interfered with. But, I don't want to take up that challenge of coating that with soldering iron. Mine pushes, where is mine? I know it goes to, let me check. I'm looking at it right now. Goes to 450 degrees Celsius, so I don't know how many degrees that is in Fahrenheit. But really quick, I bought the guy jamming that Lapeer, WA Lapeer repeater. How did you track him down? And like, what was he doing to jam it?
It wasn't. It wasn't intentional, and it wasn't malicious, and thankfully we're self-policing, but I used that three-element tape measure antenna. Now, look, when I say you got to clean the paint off the end, it's just the ends, the inside pieces, because the middle element, you cut it in half, and then, you know, you make two pieces separately, and the paint you got to remove to flux it in order to solder to the steel. You're soldering to steel. And then once you get that harder solder on, you can solder to that with the soft solder. And, you know, the little copper hairpin match is really nothing. But I got mad one night and went and bought enough parts to build two of those. And the next night, or the night after that, maybe two nights, I listened to him on input, and I had another receiver there listening to the repeater. And I drove from Columbiaville, and he was over by the Lapeer Airport, the G.B. DuPont Airport. And I was really discouraged towards the end because I rolled up on a trailer park, and I thought, oh, no, oh, my God, there's got to be 100 trailer houses there. It's over in Lapeer over by the airport, the trailer park is. And then I start folding elements to kill the gain, and then I rolled up close, and then it got so loud I just unplugged the antenna, stuck my finger in the end of it, and it come, there were three houses that were close to me, so that's how I got him.
I was kind of assuming that, seeing like the signal gets stronger, but yeah, I didn't know about all that. I knew, I think the FCC does something similar to that. It's just transmitting without a license. They'll use like something to like triangulate that back to like that general location. Oh yeah, I was gonna tell you. When I was talking to WB2JVQ Dick over at the East Coast Reflector, and we were talking about repeaters and stuff, and I was telling them about this repeater, and I was wondering, I don't know if you have really anything, like, I don't know what you could say, like, position of power, like, kind of, like, where you can talk to the repeater owner, maybe. I don't know who the owner is or who operates that repeater, but connecting the WALAP repeater to ECR for, like, youth nets or something like that.
Oh, let me get over back over by the door. I'm just using a handheld right now. No, when you were at the meeting, the that's the W8LAP group, and you know, you'd have to talk to some of the members there. And Scott runs quite a bit. I don't know. I don't even know who's in what position right now, but no, I don't know. Since this is a whole link system, I believe it's a little harder to, I don't know how it works, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how it works, but I believe it's a little bit harder to just unhook one machine. Now they've got the digital 440 stuff, and I don't know if they have that running at Mike's place or what's going on with that, but that used to be quite the system, I guess, but I don't do the digital stuff. And I really don't do it on 2-meter repeaters because I think that there's not enough spectrum here to really utilize that well.
Roger, yeah, I was just wondering. Well, with my HT, my handheld, even indoors, I was on this repeater. I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought it was only going to connect me to ECR, but I used the DTMF codes on the keypad of my HT, and I put in the no number, the Echolink no number, a node number. I pressed the push-to-talk, put in the Echolink no number of ECR, and I punched that into this repeater, and the repeater, like, switched the toll system to the ECR, and it got connected with it.
Yeah, I don't take chances like that unless I haven't been a member of that club in quite some time, but I'm definitely not going to try to remote that controller without knowing full well what I'm doing, because you can unhook from the link, do all sorts of different things. I mean, we used to have a phone patch when this repeater was over by the elementary school, and you could control that, and there were speed dial, they had 100 speed dial phone numbers on that thing. But why I bring up, it's not that you can't do the digital stuff on the repeaters with 2 meters. Why I say there's not enough spectrum is because there's so many FM radios still laying around that a person like you, a younger person that's not going to go out and buy these digital radios, digital capable radios, you can get an FM walkie-talkie anywhere for next to nothing. They've made them like postage stamps, literally. radios like the UV5R used to be a couple hundred bucks when I was a kid. And when I say kid, I mean twice your age. So, and it's still a long time ago. I got licensed in 93.
Yeah, Roger, that's a good point. Yeah, I was just wondering, but, yeah, I know you can do with the DTMF stuff. You can connect a repeater to Echo Test, and I think, yeah, you can, like what you said, like, unlink, some, like, how the repeater's linked to other repeaters. I think you can unlink them, which, again, would not be good at all. And I think you can link other repeaters if you want to, but... Again, I learned my lesson not to do that. But yeah, I was just wondering about that KFA FQN Friday.
KB8 OLE. Yeah, you got to be careful, Wyatt, especially even talking about that stuff over here, because there's a lot of non-hams that listen in, and like I said, these radios are disposable. They're almost giving them away. So when a non-ham gets these radios and they don't know what they're doing, now they're trying to remote a repeater system, and you know, definitely don't say specifically how to do any of those things over the air. Go to the club, talk to the higher ups, the gear heads, we call them propeller heads sometimes, but those guys that know what's going on, that are programming the logic, you know, the controllers for these, and they'll tell you how the digital ones work. And then the digital on like 440, that was pretty swift outfit. I've seen it work, but I'm not familiar with it. Now, if I do it, there was a lot of lawsuits when that first started, and now they've got it pretty much narrowed down. The lawyers are getting out of it, but Kenwood wanted one, ICOM wanted one, they all wanted something different, and they wanted you to pay for it. So that apparently has come to an end, and there's a lot of that stuff on 440 you can do, and you can just link in, just like you're doing with Echo Link, to repeaters around the globe. KB8OE.
Well, there's any non-hams listening. Don't do that. It's very bad. But, I talked to, I think Sean was on here, or somebody, about, yeah, I accidentally did that, next meeting, or I think it's next month, I'll ask them about how that stuff works, but, well, I gotta go eat dinner, so, I had a nice time talking to you again. I hope we talk again, and you have a heavy Valentine's Day, you have a nice rest of your night, and this is KFA FCN Cleaner Last.
Right on, Wyatt. Have a good evening. Like I said, you just talk to those guys, pay close attention, and they'll give you some procedural stuff. Like, a lot of times, when I first got in, a lot of the older guys, and we tease them, call them repeater gods, but, and they're right about some things. Like they tell you, you don't have to say monitoring at the end of it. We know you're out there. We hear the call. Things like that, it bothers some of the older guys, but, I mean, it doesn't bother me because every day is a new day, and every day you learn something new. And if you don't learn something new every day, that day might have been wasted. If you get beat up a little bit, just ask more questions. And sometimes some of the older guys might not like that either. But at least you're learning procedural stuff on how to do this. And there may come a point where you're holding a seat on that repeater board. So it is what it is. Don't worry too much. And just be careful, what you talk about controlling on those controllers over the air. Just be careful with that, and be careful. You're not going to set anything on fire or burn nothing remotely. That's the bottom line with that. But just be careful. 7-3, I monitor this about 24-7, 88 all week.
All right, Roger, keep that in mind. Thank you. KFA FQN, 73 and clear.
KE2GYA.
connected to CMN Network.